Good morning and welcome to Pathways. This is Tom Park, your host today. And today it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Richard Bartlett. And Richard, your work is called Matrix Energetics?
That's correct.
First, give us a little background on who you are.
Okay.
And then 26 minutes is going to go fast today. So, folks, this is very heady stuff. It's very new wave, incredibly juicy physics and human experience woven together. Richard, This is your burden to communicate to the folks. I could never do much with this. So first, who are you? And then second, let's go into matrix energetics.
Okay. My name is Dr. Richard Bartlett. I'm a chiropractor and a naturopath. I graduated from Bastyr University in December of 2000. I went back to naturopathic school after being a chiropractor for a number of years, realizing that the depth and the different types of conditions that I saw as a chiropractor did not fit into my traditional license, and I was concerned about that, wanted to be able to help people as much as possible, so therefore went to another 4 years of medical school so that I could serve people to the greatest capacity that I was capable of. While I was in school, I had a transforming event happen to me that changed the way I viewed reality forever. I had an event happen where I basically saw a vision when I was working on a patient, and that led me to think in a new way about the physical body. I started to realize that it was not physical at all, that it was composed of energy. I started to realize that my thoughts, my awareness, and the awareness of the people that I would work with were actually a coherent whole, and that when we focused our intent together on transformation, that could take place. Now, it's interesting because...
A little slower or a little different way.
Sure.
When we focus our intent...
Okay, when we focus our intent, what I want to tell you is people come in to the doctor and they have a diagnosis. Often they have a diagnosis or they have symptoms. So their intent is to get treatment or to get some help to be fixed for their symptoms. So what I realized a long time ago is that kept them in a fixed loop of having these conditions, having an awareness of those, and then getting treated for those conditions in the hope that something would make them feel better. So it's a system that works outside of them, works upon them rather than works within them. So what I started to learn how to do is actually interact with their consciousness on a non-physical or an unconscious level, and through focused intent, through focusing my awareness on change, they would experience instant transformation of their symptoms.
So your input to them somehow, did it alter their consciousness?
Their consciousness is often altered. At first, when I started doing this work, I thought like a chiropractor, so I just thought I had a new, better, bigger hammer. I had a new way to change things. I had not hit upon the idea that all is energy, and therefore awareness and energy is all that exists. So therefore, when I started to do that, what happened is I got instantaneous changes. Imagine, for instance, something like a scoliosis. Scoliosis just means a curvature in the spine. It's not a disease, but if you hear a diagnosis from a doctor, even if it's something relatively benign, you think it's quite serious, and then you look for treatment. So a scoliosis is a curve, but all it is a line of force. And when you take it down to its basic level, you could draw a line and you could draw a curve around that spine where that curvature is. Imagine if you could see that as strictly energy, and it's just a crooked line, if you could make that line straight, and that could happen instantly. That's what began to happen for me.
And okay, Richard, I want you to go into some of the a lot of our folks on Pathways audience here, they've heard a lot of delicate physics and new thought physics. Can you give us any rational handle on this? What's your best attempt at that?
Well, first thing I have to tell you, I'm not a physicist. I was not good in math, and I'm teaching physics to housewives now, but I had to do it because it was the only model that I could find, quantum physics, that would support what I was doing and make it understandable to a large number of people.
Great. Somehow give us the simple version of how the quantum physics fits here.
So there's something called the Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. Okay. What that says essentially is you cannot observe a system without entering into that observation and therefore changing it. The way this actually applies in scientific terms is if you look at something and you try and measure its velocity, you lose track of its actual location. If you try and track exactly its location, you will lose contact with what its exact velocity is. So you can never actually measure both at the same time. You can either look at one and change the other. So what I started to realize is our awareness, our consciousness actually is functioning at this quantum level to change our reality all the time. The trouble is the reality that we get is what we accept, what we've been taught to believe.
So day to day, moment to moment, our consciousness, say it again?
Our consciousness believes in a certain set of facts and say this is our reality. This is our belief system. That's what forms our reality. And what we would call this is consensus reality. Everybody agrees, for instance, that if somebody's wearing a red shirt, that that shirt is red. But actually, this is wrong. The shirt is not red. It's every other color but red, and red is the one color that's not there, so it's the one that's being reflected back to us. That's a basic example of how our perceptions can trick us and how they can be totally off base but yet be accepted by everyone as real.
But everyone's equipment operates by certain standards, certain principles of nature. I mean, the human being is a consistent piece of equipment, isn't it?
It appears to be, but then there's things like spontaneous remission. There's things like miracles. Those things fall outside of the realm of linear physics, but quantum physics actually predicts miracles. We now have quantum physicists that are calling this new unified field theory the mind of God. Greg Braden has talked about it in depth. And so if you're dealing with the mind of God, the idea is you're not separate from that mind. You're an actual functional part of that mind, and therefore you have access to that same awareness.
So what's your goal with your work, Richard? Your goal is to help people with physical health. What's the goal?
My goal with this work at this time is to teach as many people as I can how to have these perceptions and to do this, because it's very easy to learn. A child can learn it. So mothers can help their children. Families can have access to free health care that they have right at their own fingertips, so that doctors and PTs and massage therapists and acupuncturists and any kind of body worker that you can think of has a new tool that they actually use to supercharge whatever it is they're already doing and to do it pretty much instantly.
Okay. Folks, I do want to mention that Dr. Bartlett is coming to Portland next weekend. It's the weekend of March 19, 2021, and what's the best way for them to follow up, guys? At the end of the show, please, I would like to have a phone number or a website or something that we can announce at the end of the show.
We can tell you even now.
Okay.
It's www.matrixenergetics.com.
It's good, nice and simple. So, folks, we'll announce it again at the end of the show, and you can go there for follow-up because, obviously, you can't hear with Pathways. Okay. Let's talk about how we all live in a hypnotized trance. I mean, a lot of us are aware of that. That won't be a new concept. First, help us taste that reality, and then tell us about where you go.
Well, as I was talking about, something like a scoliosis or a physical condition, we believe that that is a physical object. We believe that it's set in stone, that it cannot change. In fact, what we do is we operate it on it, or we put braces on it, or we do things in order to change it gradually over time. Or sometimes we watch it, and then if it gets worse, then we act upon it. Actually, that condition is just, it's just a name, and that name is just an energy or a spectrum of energies that what the physicists would say, it's an interference pattern. An interference pattern means that if you've got a set of frequencies where they intersect, it creates an interference wave. Some of those waves will be greater. There'll be a great wave, and some will be canceled out, what they call summation and cancellation. So wherever energy builds up, that's where matter or reality tends to exist that we can observe. And where those troughs are, that's where it tends to not exist. For instance, an electron doesn't actually exist in an orbit. It tends to exist. I don't know how many people have heard this, but it's the act of observing the electron in its path that actually allows for that observation to make that electron physical. It doesn't actually have an orbit. It has a probability.
It more truly is just energy?
That's right. It's thought and energy. Because when the physicists would look at the electron, that's when it would exist. When they're not looking at it, well, they don't know exactly what's happening. It's kind of like the tree falling in the forest. You know, if no one's there to hear it, did it fall? Does it make a sound?
So we're talking about magic here. We're talking about how magical the human being really is.
That's right.
So in your experience...
Yes.
This level of magical capabilities is available to day-to-day people.
It's available to everyone. In fact, children, housewives, engineers, doesn't matter. The people that have the most trouble with working with what I'm teaching are the people that have the most degrees, they have the most left brain show me state of awareness, where they do not believe in miracles. It's kind of like Peter Pan, you know, where Tinkerbell's dying and you have to believe in Tinkerbell to keep Tinkerbell alive. It's like that. Once they are able to believe in a possibility other than what they've accepted, and not accepted, but to entertain the idea it could be possible, they've entered into that magic realm where all things are possible.
Is that challenging for most people?
It's a lot of fun for most people, at least that come to my seminars, because they wind up wondering what's real. On Saturday, on Sunday, they begin to think, well, we're not sure, but we don't care, because we're able to do these things we've never imagined before, and it sure is a lot of fun. Let's do it some more.
Okay, Matrix Energetics.
Yes.
Why that name?
Well, it's partly a pun and partly real. Matrix Energetics, people kept asking me what to call it. Now, I'm in Seattle now, and so I can't call it Microsoft, but when I was first asked, I said, point and click, where do the vertebrae want to go today? But I decided in Seattle that's not such a good plan. Matrix Energetics actually refers to the fact that Dr. James Oshman talks about, that there's a living crystalline energy that makes up the body. The bones are composed of crystalline substance, the fascia, the connective tissue system, and even the brain. The brain, actually, the support structures are crystalline in nature, and that's part of why we get the transmission of electrical signals through the brain. It's just like a crystal on a radio set, an old radio set.
So the human equipment is just like this.
That's right. And the interesting thing about crystals and crystal structures is they actually allow for what you call quantum phenomena. And there's speculation that at some point there will be a quantum computer that will be built, and it will be based on organic, or at least partly organic, technology that will have crystals as part of its system.
Okay. So let's go back to how you put this together. And you actually had some support from clairvoyant people, did you?
I have an associate who's very clairvoyant. I have another person in Montana that I worked with that could see the energy, see what I was doing. I have a certain amount of that ability myself. But what I want to say about that is it's not necessary to be clairvoyant. What it's necessary to do is to be like a little child and know how to play or how to imagine. It's like there's a great scene in Hook where Robin Williams is Peter Pan, the grown-up Peter Pan, is sitting down with the children, and they're playing around the table at eating. They're having a banquet. Now, Peter Pan, Robin Williams, is starved, but he can't imagine this food, and he's getting more and more frustrated. Finally, he starts to play, and when he does, the whole table pops into view. It's full of food, wonderful assortment of food. It's like that. Once you start to play, and quantum physicists, I've met quite a few of them, they're like children. They're willing to imagine a different reality than what everybody else has told them. They have the mathematics to support it, and they're way out there in their belief systems, but yet they can say, this is the way reality must be. The science says so.
Intent plays a big part in how your work is conducted. Intent. First, would you please define intent for us as in your system, and then tell us about its operational capabilities.
Well, intent is basically anything that you believe. You've never seen a house built without a blueprint. Basically, intent is your blueprint to build a house. If you want to accomplish something, anything, you first have to imagine it. Once you imagine it, then you conceptualize it. You actually see it happening, and then you take steps to actually do it. Well, that's how it works in the work that I'm teaching. We have a blueprint called the science structure that we teach. Very simple. Anyone can understand it. No one should be afraid of it. It's a lot of fun. Once you know that the science is real, and not, this is not taught every day. People have heard about quantum mechanics, but it sounds dull. It's not. It's amazing. It's magical. Once you have that, then you learn how to take those ideas and to test them. We have a laboratory called the human body. We can actually test the ideas of quantum physics. Do what I do, see it work, and then decide for yourself whether it's real or not. Once you do that, you now have crossed over the border between what you used to believe and what you believe now. And once you do that, there is no limit to your imagination, what you can do. Now, that doesn't mean that because you think you can, you should jump out of a building or something believing you can fly. That's not a good idea. Reality doesn't support that. But if you can find safe and simple things that you can begin to do that you thought were beyond your capability, I submit to you that you can do many other things that you only have dreamed of.
Okay, so the function of intent, though, what is human intent? Is it consciousness? Is it mental will? What is it?
Well, it's interesting. Dr. John von Neumann, who is responsible for a lot of the algorithms for our modern computer and a lot of other things, said that consciousness collapses the wave function. Now, I think everyone has heard that physicists see this world, the subquantum world, as either a particle or a wave. Now, I don't think it's necessarily either, and we don't know. We've never observed the particle. We never observed the wave. We observed the effects that they make with their experiments and the mathematics conform to it being a particle or a wave. But what they found out is when they focus their awareness, when they have an idea, and that idea they hold with strong focused concentration on their experiment, they prove their results. Interestingly enough, if they run the same experiment and they have a different hypothesis, they will also prove that one through their awareness. So the Buddhists have said for a long time that basically all is Maya, all is illusion. And so what you focus on, you actually can bring into being. And the Buddhists spend lifetimes meditating on achieving this state where what they concentrate, what they focus on, they can actually manifest. There are some holy men in India that apparently can actually manifest physical objects out of nowhere, out of the thin air. I've never seen it myself, but understanding the principles that are taught in quantum physics and what I've seen for myself, I can understand how it's easily very possible.
So is intent like a laser device for human beings?
It would be like a targeting device. It would be like a laser. You focus your awareness, and you focus that awareness down to a single point, and you concentrate on one outcome, and then you can instantly achieve that outcome. Now, sometimes we focus on things we call goals. Goals are not the same thing. That's something where we'd like something to happen, okay? So we say, well, if I do this, 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 and this, maybe in a future time, this will happen. But what the quantum physicists say is there is no time. There's actually no past, present, or future. It's just all part of an internal continuum. If that's the case, that what you focused on 6 years ago is happening now, and what you're focusing on 30 years from now, be you alive or not, is happening now. So therefore, whatever you focus on happens instantly. It's just whether or not you're noticing that in your current consensus reality or not. Imagine if you could go back in time. Say someone comes in to my office. This is a real example. Comes in my office with a frozen shoulder. That's where it doesn't move at all. It's almost calcified. The ligaments are very hard. There's a lot of scar tissue, and it doesn't move. Well, it makes no sense if you were to attack that linearly. Say, I'm going to do something to break up this scar tissue. If you could realize that there is no such thing as time. What if we went back to the time before this was a frozen shoulder, access that state of reality, observe that, and through focused tip, bring that back as the choice we're making now in this present time. And that actually happened and transformed a frozen shoulder instantly. I've seen it many times.
So I get that that you practice this, that you have a deep running ability and investment in this.
This practices me.
All right. That practice, very nice. And expand on that. What do you mean by that?
Well, it means it's with me 24 hours a day. I can't shut it off. I wouldn't want to. If I focus on something, accidentally changes can occur in another person. That's not to mean that I would ever focus harm, and I don't believe you can, or at least I would never have that in my belief structure. But if I'm aware of something, somebody asks me a question, and I start to focus on that as a possibility, often they will get physical changes before they even come and see me.
Very cool. Okay, so you mentioned something about time travel, and I think what you mean is something similar to what you just recounted. Mm-hmm. How literally do you mean this thing about time travel?
Well, it's funny because you could say we're making it all up, and one of my teachers, Dr. Richard Bandler, developer of NLP, says it's okay if it's useful fiction. It may not be true, but it's true for now. It's a good enough belief system that if it works consistently every time, I'll take it. I mean this very literally. I can touch somebody's body, feel tension in their body or pain or whatever you want to look for, travel backwards by counting, feel the change in their tissues under my hands, and when I get to the point where an injury actually occurred or condition began, through focused intent, change it on the spot. Now, this doesn't mean to say that I believe that I can heal, you know, cancer or any disease. I don't believe in healing, or I don't believe in disease. I believe in transformation, because healing and disease are two sides of the same coin.
You can't go by that quick on that one. We're going to hear more about this. Say that again, and then expand that for about 2 minutes.
All right. Healing is based on the idea Well, it's a very nebulous concept. What is healing to you might be completely different to me. It's a very abstract term. Disease, same abstract term. Disease to a scientist or to a medical doctor describes a set of symptoms and signs, that's clinical findings and laboratory tests, that tell you that this collection of symptoms has been named to be this disorder. Now, just because you've named something to be this disorder and you have this collection of symptoms, that in no way defines what that person has. You're not talking about the disease that has the person, you're talking about the person that has the disease. That's why I say I don't believe in disease. For instance, fibromyalgia. Well, what does it mean? It means that there's pain in the connective tissue and muscles. So what? That's not a disease, it's a description. Most diseases are descriptions. Same thing with techniques or therapeutics. Most therapeutics are tools that are designed to address a certain component of functional or pathological disorders. They aren't just concepts, just like the disease is a concept. You're taking a concept of healing to address a concept of disease. You can call it treatment, you can call it therapy. I prefer to call it gone. That's not to say that I'm so arrogant to believe that would always be the case, but wouldn't it be nice to believe that? Isn't it more preferential to believe that you could transform in an instant than rather than to think that healing takes time or that without pain there is no gain? That's one I just love.
Okay, so where does the transformation take place? I mean, what part of the substance of human being does the transformation take place in?
I have to believe that it takes place on what you call the sub-molecular level, the quantum level. At that point, that's where you get the effects of infinite energy in infinitesimally small amounts of time. What Richard Feynman said is you could have potentially anything occur in an infinitesimally small amount of time. You can have infinite amounts of energy in a very, very small amount of time because you can't track it. You can't observe it. So we don't know what it is. Dr. Feynman said that perhaps the subquantum world contains morality or composers or giraffes or not. He said he didn't really know. So I think at that level, that's where miracles happen. That's where all the possibilities come together. The problem is when you apply a miraculous sense or a basically a non-consensus reality approach to something that's been made to be a very physical condition or problem, you're running headlong into consensus reality agreed on by everybody. You're running into their beliefs about what disease or what healing is.
Definitely.
If you play that game, you're going to get beat up. Because you're not going to be able to transform something. If I look at a shoulder, I don't think of it as being a shoulder. I see it as a pattern of energy.
Okay, so the transformation, again, what level of what we inhabit as equipment and how we live every day as a human life, where does it take place?
Again, I believe it has to be at the energetic level where mind and matter meet. It's where mind and matter are pretty much the same thing. We're talking about photons, light, and information, and that's about all there is.
Very nice. Folks, as you can tell, it's going to be a full weekend with Dr. Richard. Okay. Why don't you just say a few words about your program coming to town, and then we're going to have to wrap it up. So tell folks
Certainly.
A little bit this coming weekend. You are, where are you? The Unity Church? No.
No. We're at the Red Lion, March 19th through the 21st.
Which Red Lion?
Where is that? The convention. It's the convention center.
Well, okay, you're at the Oregon Convention Center on right down here with the big towers.
That's correct, just a little ways from here, stone's throw from here.
Okay, so that's March 19th, 2021.
That's right.
And but really, to follow up, I'm going to give a phone number too, folks.
Sure.
I'll give a phone number, then we're going to give the website again. Then we'll invite Dr. Bartlett to say goodbye to us. All right, so the website again, www.matrixenergetics, matrixenergetics.com. So matrixenergetics.com. And the phone number, folks, I'll say it twice, 206-367-9161, 206-367-9161. And please, if you'd follow up with pursue with those resources, it'd be better because here at Pathways, you won't be able to follow up. All right.
I just want to say that the Friday night is free to everyone. It's from 7 to 9. Come play with me. Come meet me. Come feel what this energy is like. come watch others experience it, enjoy it. It's a very fun, free evening. And then if you want to come and learn how to do this, although you may learn it on Friday night and just miss it, not know it, then come join us for the seminar for the full weekend.
Okay. Richard, in parting, you've seen lots of miracles, no doubt, with this work of yours.
I'm not the Pope, so I'm not sure if it's miracles. I can't really, say that. Okay. I've seen things.
Okay. So you have about 60 seconds here to say goodbye to the folks, and I'd just like to let you tell them whatever the good news is you want to tell them.
I want to tell you that transformation, and you can call it healing if you want, is available for everyone. It exists in a state of the mind that everyone has access to. Everyone knows how to play. If you've forgotten, come remember with me.
Very nice. So, folks, this has been an interview with Dr. Richard Bartlett, and his work is called Matrix Energetics. And that's it for this week. We'll be back next week on Sunday morning with Pathways. Please join us for another exciting interview. Thanks for joining us, folks.